Eighth pitch has been the magic one tonight. This time he hits the ball to deep right field. Cody Bellinger has done it! And the Dodgers lead in game seven.
A great performance for the Dodgers, capping three straight wins over the talented Atlanta Braves to win the National League Championship Series and propel the Dodgers into the World Series starting tomorrow late afternoon for the third time in 4 years. And isn't it great to hear the Dodgers' Joe Davis calling the national telecast for that Game 7 of the NLCS? Such a talented broadcaster. So good to have you with us on Air Talk. We're going to begin focusing on the Dodgers' challenge now against the team with the best record in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays. And joining us to do just that, Los Angeles Times baseball writer and sports business writer, Bill Shaken. Bill, thanks so much for joining us. You there in the bubble in Arlington?
I'm not. I'm here in Los Angeles, but we do have two writers in the bubble.
All right. Well, then you've been watching along just like the rest of us. You know, first of all, what struck you about the Dodgers' comeback, being down 2-0 and 3-1 and winning 3 straight?
I think it was that what we thought would be the Dodgers' greatest advantage going into the series would be depth of starting pitching, and it turned out to work that way, but not in the way that any of us would have envisioned. So when you got to a game seven, as we did last night, you could see that the Dodgers had enormous trust and faith in the young pitchers that they had said were going to be a part of their starting rotation this year. And when the Dodgers said in the offseason to Hyunjin Ryu and to Kenta Maeda and to Rich Hill, thank you and farewell, they were doing that to create spots for Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin and Julio Urias in the starting rotation. What we didn't expect is that all three of them would pitch in the same game to get the Dodgers to the World Series.
And that kind of pressure for young pitchers, in fact, it looked like in that first inning with Dustin May, that perhaps nerves got to him a little bit. He gave up only one run, but it wasn't the Dustin May, the dominating presence that we've seen over past season plus.
Well, in fairness to Dustin May, the Dodgers probably outsmarted themselves a little there. They didn't need to spend all morning yesterday going over their different permutations of how the game might play out without telling Dustin May. And they didn't tell him until, according to the television broadcast, 1 o'clock yesterday that he was starting the game. So probably it would have been nice to either have a little more notice,
yeah,
or a little less notice, but as you mentioned, it all worked out, and that's all that counts.
Tony Gonsolin coming in the second inning, and then three lockdown innings by Urias. And I thought his performance was particularly impressive. He just looked unfazed by the moment.
And this is really what the Dodgers have been working for with him for years. You know, as you know, Larry, there's been so many years when he's been the prodigy and the young arm, and the Dodgers have taken care to, you know, what some of us might have said is really babying him, but also in changing his role. He started, he was a reliever, he could work long relief or short relief, he could be in the majors, he could be in the minors. But the Dodgers' plan had always been to get him to this point. And you can see even now, they're still willing to be flexible with his role, even after he'd come back from a serious shoulder injury. But the proof is in the results, and the results are the Dodgers in the World Series.
So many great performers in this series. Of course, Seager's just been had a great year the entire year. And then, of course, Mookie Betts with three extraordinary defensive plays in the seven-game series. Yet another one last night, leaping over the right field wall to rob what would have been a solo home run. I want to hear from you how you're planning to watch the World Series and what your thoughts are as the Dodgers head in to the series against the Rays. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. As Joaquin writes on the Air Talk page, I think representing many people, I'm emotionally exhausted. Great comeback, but I can't handle a third World Series defeat. That's Joaquin in the burbs. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Bill, is there any way to overstate the value and abilities of Mookie Betts?
I don't know that there is at this point. You know, you look at all the different facets of the game, and whether it's batting from his being a tremendous and really multidimensional leadoff hitter. You know, he can hit home runs. He can draw his walks. He steals bases, which is almost a forgotten art these days. And then in the field, I think basically put on a highlight reel for the ages and his leadership. And I don't want to understate that, because in the clubhouse with Justin Turner, who's pretty much been a forefront clubhouse leader for years, and in a clubhouse where Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen have been there for years, for Mookie Betts to show up and win everybody's respect from day one was an amazing feat. And, you know, at the time when he said, when the protests were going on and different teams were deciding they were just not going to play, first in the NBA and then in Major League Baseball, for Mookie Betts to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable playing tonight, and for his entire team to back him up. And that's a guy who's been on the team basically, what, a month at that point?
Yeah.
Pretty special.
Yeah, it's clear the respect and care that they had for him and for what he was experiencing that night. And you see the respect with which they treat him as well. Again, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. And you know, it's kind of lost here this morning as we're celebrating these great performances by the Dodgers, but the base running error by the Braves last night, which ended in a double play that took them out of what could have been such a big inning, that's extraordinary to see the runner break for home in that position.
I don't think it's that extraordinary, because for years, at least those of us who have watched the Angels, grew very familiar with the play called running on contact. You want to try to force the action. And remember, Justin Turner was not playing up at third base. He was back in almost a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, you can keep the inning alive by being in really no worse a situation than you were before, runners in scoring position and just one out. But you force the play and you try to force a bad throw on the part of the fielder who has to rush the throw. So Justin Turner makes a great throw. And smartly, the runner gets in the rundown, which is supposed to enable the remaining runners to move around. And as I said, so they'd still be in scoring position. And for Justin Turner to have the awareness and the instincts to complete that rundown, to basically, you know, leap through midair to apply the tag. And then instead of saying, oh, great, terrific play, we stopped the run from scoring, to remember right in that very second, not on some slow-mo replay,
yeah,
that there's also a runner going to third base and have the thought to go back and get him was amazing.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary play. And that tag where he gets Swanson and then the pivot, as you said, is so fast by Turner. He throws the strike to third and get the runner that's following Swanson on the base. We're talking with Bill Shaken, Los Angeles Times reporter who covers baseball and sports business. Bill responding to the Dodgers' three straight wins over the weekend to come from behind, defeat a very good Braves team. And Bill, I wouldn't be surprised if these teams meet again in coming years.
Not at all. As much as you talk about the Dodgers' young pitching, the Braves have the same, and they're a little bit ahead of schedule. And you know, we talked about how Arias and Gonsolin and May were expected to contribute this year, and they did. Max Fried, the Braves' ace, was expected to contribute, and he did. But the Braves ran out a bunch of other starters, and we saw Sal Wright. We saw Ian Anderson last night. those are guys that the Braves did not expect to contribute this year. They had Mike Soroka as their number two pitcher. He got hurt. Mike Foltynewicz didn't perform the way they wanted. They let him go. And the guy they had signed as the veteran to balance their staff and really be ready for a postseason performance, because he had done it before, was Cole Hamels, who won a World Series with the Phillies back in 2008. And he got hurt too. So it wasn't the Braves' plan to have these other guys lined up behind Max Fried, but they got the experience. They acquitted themselves very nicely. And as you mentioned, Larry, the Braves should be in a position to have a nice little run here for a few years.
Fried, if I'm not mistaken, a Southern California native who played at Harvard Westlake. So,
and, you know, Little League. It's an interesting story because next to Encino Little League, there's a baseball academy. It's actually all in the same complex.
Oh, that's Reggie Smith's place, isn't it?
Reggie Smith. He played for the Dodgers in the 1981 World Series. And Max, because he grew up playing Little League there, became close friends with Reggie, used him as one of his coaches. And he's been working with Reggie Smith since he was 4 years old. So they still talk. And one of the Dodger World Series veterans, it turned out, had a huge role in the Braves' success this year.
Wow. Reggie Smith, the man I always thought at some point would become the manager of the Dodgers. Bill, great to talk with you as always. Thank you so much for your analysis, and I hope we get a chance to talk in these coming days.
All right, take care, Larry.
Thanks. Bill Shaken, Los Angeles Times reporter covering baseball. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is Nick Roman, All Things Considered, 4 o'clock host and part of the Triple Play. Abe Martinez hopefully joining us tomorrow for the Triple Play as we preview tomorrow night's Game 1. But, Nick, that felt great. You were the one who said when we talked Friday the Dodgers could win three straight games.
Yeah, they could win three straight games, and they did. And they did it by, pitching extremely well and sticking to terrific at bats that turned games around. It was impressive. It certainly wasn't easy to watch, but it was certainly impressive. And the game last night, you know, really turned on the fact that the Dodgers are expert at forcing the other pitcher to pitch, to throw a lot of pitches. There were three at-bats last night, three different players that saw eight pitches in their at-bats that really turned the game around. The two that we know about, of course, were the home runs from Kike Hernandez and Cody Bellinger that put the tied the game and then put the Dodgers ahead. But there was an earlier at-bat after the Braves, Ian Anderson, who'd had such a rough time early, had gotten two outs with five pitches, and then Justin Turner came out and came up, and I remember turning to my wife and my daughter, and I'm saying, he's got to take a lot of pitches and make this guy work. Eight pitches, and he walked. Max Muncy then four pitches and got a double, and then Will Smith on the first pitch got a base hit to bring in two runs. And all of a sudden, the things started to turn a little bit. You know, you started to feel that the Dodgers had some momentum, and this might go their way.
Frank in Pasadena says, we've been here before, but we should understand we can't take the Rays for granted. They're a talented young team. And I expect us to have a long series with them unless we see the Dodgers' talent win out early in the series. I know tomorrow we can do a more thorough preview of the Rays, but your overall sense of them, Nick?
Well, nobody knows who they are because they're not the heralded ball players, and that's played to their advantage. Listen, these guys are talented, every one of them on that ball club. The ones that we do sort of know a little bit about, players like Kevin Kiermaier, who is the center fielder for the Rays, who was just fabulous out there. Willy Adames, who's a really talented fielder at shortstop. He's a great player. But if I were to go through all of the names, you would go, well, you know what? I've never heard of these guys. That's the thing. They have a great farm system, a great system that's been set up in Tampa Bay that turns out talent, young talent. And then they've made some fairly astute trades, some of which you kind of looked at and thought, I don't know, why did you do that? But they've yielded, more talent and more depth for the Rays team. The one thing that the Rays really don't do is they're not tremendous hitters. They're a great pitching team, and they have a really good bullpen, but they're not tremendous hitters, and I would expect that's where the Dodgers have a significant advantage.
All right, let's see. We have some other listener comments. This is from David in Pasadena. I'm going to go to Dallas and cheer on the boys in blue. After the game, Coach Roberts clearly gave a shout-out to L.A. I feel like it's time to go and support them in person however I can. That's David in Pasadena. Jeff in West Hollywood says, I'm a Yankees fan. I'll still read your comment, Jeff. Said, I've coached high-level baseball players myself. My grandmother could have made the play Justin Turner did. Wow, you've got an athletic grandmother. Also, I hope the Rays absolutely beat them. The Dodgers are great, but they're in the worst division in baseball. All right, Jeff. Nick, have at him.
That's not true because the San Diego Padres are mirror the Tampa Rays in a lot of ways. A lot of young talent. In fact, those two teams traded players back and forth. You know, you can make that kind of argument all the time about who was good and who was bad. You know, the Rays were also in a division where they were playing the Baltimore Orioles, a team that, you know, nobody really thinks has much talent at all. So, I don't go for that. And my guess is that certainly a Yankee fan would be impressed by what the Braves, what the Rays have done, because the Rays tore up the Yankees throughout the regular season and also in the playoffs. So, that part I get. And it's true that they're a good team, but the Dodgers are a better team. Well, listen, the Atlanta Braves were really good,
and the Dodgers beat them. Yeah, I didn't have a sense of how good they were, and as Bill Shaken was, you know, talking how these younger pitchers like Anderson and some of the other, I mean, just really rose to the moment. And you know, the other thing with the Rays is, a lot of those wins, if I'm not mistaken, against the Yankees were when the Yankees were beat up and injured. They didn't get healthy until late in the season.
Absolutely. And that was a hard thing. And that's one reason why the Yankees were sort of, you know, they knew that they were going to get their guys back. But in the playoffs, the Rays did beat the Yankees. So that's significant. One other thing, the Braves and the Rays played early in the season. They played four games and they split them. Tampa winning the two in Tampa and the Braves winning the two in Atlanta. But the two that the Rays won in Tampa, the Braves pitchers, and you heard Bill Shaken talk about this, the Braves pitchers that went out in those games are guys that got hurt and did not play for the rest of the season. So Tampa beat up injured pitchers, and when they played the frontline guys from the Braves who were healthy in Atlanta, the Braves won those two games. So it's hard to make measurements, but I know this much. The Dodgers are well tested by what happened, against the Atlanta Braves, a team that we all know is really good.
My very even-tempered and generally mild-mannered wife, Kristen, was taking evil glee in the Astros being beaten. She's really holding a grudge against the Astros. And
it's not evil.
I'm just so used to her not getting so upset about something. But she takes that very personally. So she was very happy to see the Rays in that Game 7 prevail over the Astros. And is this sort of the beginning of the end for the Astros, do you think? Or they just have too much talent. They're going to be back next year.
Well, certainly they have a lot of talent when it comes to the players that are in the field, the hitters. Those guys are good. There's no question about that. But they have some real hard decisions to make about their pitching, because Justin Verlander is going to be gone next year with Tommy John surgery. Zach Greinke doesn't look like the dominant Zach Greinke when he pitched for the Dodgers, certainly, or even when he was pitching for Arizona. And so then after that, who are the starters for the Houston Astros? They don't like to spend a lot of money. They made the trade to get Gerrit Cole from the Pittsburgh Pirates, but then they didn't keep him. They let him. He's off now with the Yankees.
Of course, the Yankees gave him an incredible amount of money in that long-term contract.
Right, but Houston wasn't going to get anywhere near that, and they never have gotten any. I mean, they didn't even keep Charlie Morton, who was the pitcher that beat them on Saturday night, you know, and after he had won a World Series for them. So it's not how Houston then builds up their, you know, their pitching staff, their starters, is going to be the real key for them. They have some good young guys, but you need more than just one or two. You need, you know,
we've
four
seen.
Or five.
As we've seen with the Dodgers, and as the Braves saw. Nick, great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us. And tomorrow, Nick, hopefully will be back with us along with A. Martinez. Azar is so busy in the morning prepping for Take Two, but we're hoping he can make some time. And all three of us, as the Triple Play, will preview the World Series starting tomorrow, late afternoon, 5 o'clock, the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays best of seven series. And it's all being played at the same park where the Dodgers have played the last couple of series, which is this, or played the National League Championship Series and the Divisional Series, which is Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, or Globe Life Field, I guess. The park is the one next to it. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back in 1 minute.